Hey, Lauren, do you want to hear about a good deal?
Why, yes, Mason, I would love to.
Good, because I have a deal with your name on it.
Tell me more!
Well, in that case, GoDaddy.com is offering the best deals of a lifetime. For only $3.59 a month for a year, you can get GoDaddy.com's economy package.
Amazing! What do I get with the economy package?
You get 250 gigs of bandwidth, 5 gigs of storage, and up to 500 email accounts. You can get your website up and running.
I can?
Yeah. When you check out, enter code MUGGLE, that's M-U-G-G-L-E, and save 10% on any order.
Can you spell that again?
Yeah, I can. That's M-U-G-G-L-E.
Wow. Do any restrictions apply?
Some restrictions apply. See site for details. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.
This is Professor McGonagall welcoming you to all to MuggleCast, hoping you enjoyed. Dobby, come here. Dobby!
Yes, well, I'd just like to say how very pleased I am to introduce MuggleCast to all of you. Thank you.
Because the MuggleCast studios have officially closed, this is MuggleCast episode 146 for May 18th. 2008.
All right, well, we were hoping to make this week our big teaser trailer show because it was widely rumored to be coming out this week. Alongside Prince Caspian. And Matt, you saw that this week, didn't you? Because you were hoping to see the trailer.
Well, yeah. Well, didn't everybody else see it?
Nope.
I'm the only one who saw it.
In our little group here, yes.
Well, I did see it. And no, there was no trailer.
Oh. So it was... there were rumors circulating saying, yeah, it's coming out. It's coming out this Friday. We were waiting all week for an email or some sort of confirmation from Warner Brothers to say, yes, it is coming out. Never got anything. Screwed up our regular recording. Now here we are on a Saturday night. I had to cancel a lot of... I was invited to a lot of parties, as I am every Saturday night. So,
yes.
This is a big sacrifice.
Isn't it meant for New Jersey, a hotbed of excitement and parties? I mean, just...
Yeah, no, I'm the center of every party. So.
Well, see, Laura, if I was a betting man... And if I could predict how many parties Andrew gets invited to every Saturday night, I would say none.
Let's just say it took about an hour to call everyone back and call all my invites back and let them know I couldn't make it. And
what did your grandma say?
Oh.
Oh.
All right, well, we will discuss
this. She says I'm with Micah tonight.
Wow, weird. We will be discussing the trailer... the non-existent trailer this week. We'll figure out when it's going to be coming out. We have lots of other news to discuss. We have a whole amazing show planned. I'm so excited to get to it. So let's get started. I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Laura Thompson.
I'm Micah Tannenbaum.
And I'm Matthew Britton.
You know, guys, not only was there no trailer this week, but this the final recording in the MuggleCast studios. We've told people that I guess it was probably a good year or so ago, we announced to everyone that we actually built a airport here, so you guys could fly in every week and record here in the MuggleCast studios here in sunny Medford, New Jersey. But I'm going to be moving out to California in a few days, and this is the last recording here in Medford. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, aww, it is sad, but I mean, you've already got construction underway for the new airport in California, so...
That's true. Yeah, MuggleCast International, Fullerton, California.
Just call it the OC.
The OC. It's called... the flight code is MOC, MuggleCast Orange County, so you can book your flights. It's actually... We're opening it up. You can go on Expedia, type in MOC, and you can fly out there.
Yeah. Yeah, we got MuggleCast relations on the line 24 hours a day, so you can call in. Toll-free number.
Right. So it's kind of sad. And I don't know. We will do a show next week if the trailer comes out. If it doesn't, we'll probably take the week off because we got to move the MuggleCast studios. You're going to be helping me move it out to California. So.
Really?
Know what? I have a thing and...
I work. I don't think that's gonna happen.
Thanks,
guys. I just don't want to go.
Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot. So, Micah, is there any other news this week? It's actually been a pretty busy week. I've been busy posting on MuggleNet.com.
Yep. Yeah, surprisingly, you're the only one.
Yeah. Kieran has been, too.
Oh, been, occasionally.
Yeah, like once a year. But go ahead. Well, what's in the news, Micah?
What's in the news? Well, you mentioned we don't have a trailer. So what do you guys think as far as movies that are coming out in the next couple of weeks? When are we going to see this trailer?
Matt. What?
I'm saying you know a lot about movies, more than I do, so I figured I'd throw it over to you as far as what's coming out in the next couple of weeks.
If Warner Brothers wants to get a mass audience to see the trailer as it debuts, the best movie I can see in the future is Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Because that's coming out in a week. However, that's still fairly close for them, so... If they were going to do Indiana Jones, in a couple days we're going to get some kind of word on saying we're going to get a premiere of the teaser.
I would say Wednesday we would have a definite.
By Wednesday at least.
This Wednesday.
Well, I would think so because the movie's coming out Friday. I was looking at IMDb, looking at the upcoming movies, trying to figure out what other movies, and I think the only other one that would really fit is Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, which does kind of make sense too because they premiered the teaser trailer for the movie Happy Feet. And Happy Feet and Kung Fu Panda are kind of like the same kind of
Yeah,
film.
And that is coming out June 6th. So...
For some reason, I just feel like Indiana Jones would be a better movie to put in front of. I know they used Happy Feet previously, but I just remember people writing in and talking about how bad it sucked to pay like $8 to go see Happy Feet just for the trailer.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Well, I mean, Harry Potter... We all thought it was going to be Narnia because it was a fantasy film.
Well, how does that generally work? Does it work based on the company or does it work on based upon
Well,
Prince
Caspian was a Disney film. I think it's the type of film. It's a kid's
I think
fantasy.
It really depends on either the studio or the movie. I don't really know for sure to give an honest answer because I know we have enough listeners out there who are legitimately skilled in this kind of area, so
Yeah.
Because I have read some of the emails, and
well,
I'm almost afraid to say anything.
I'll put my money down on Indiana Jones.
I think so,
sense.
Too.
Safe bet. Yeah.
It's due. No, I don't know anything. I wish I did.
You know what this reminds me of? When we were trying to guess when Deathly Hallows was going to be released, and every week we'd come up with a different date until it was finally revealed. I have a feeling this is going to go on for a little bit.
Well, one thing that is for certain is that if the trailer comes out within the next few weeks, we're not going to be able to do a live show as soon as it is revealed online because none of the equipment is going to be set up yet because of my move, but we will do one later on. I know I've been promising. I'm mentioning this because we've been promising doing a live show once the trailer comes out. But,
well, whether or not it's a live show or not, we'll still have a full episode dedicated to the trailer.
Yeah, definitely. So, in other news, Micah, what else is going on?
Well, we don't have any trailer whatsoever, but we did get what people think are a new picture, from Half-Blood Prince, and it's a very exciting picture. It's of Harry looking into a desk drawer. And see, this is what bothers me. People get all excited about these pictures that from the movie. I just don't get it. I mean, and they're going to speculate, what is he doing? And it's just going to be the scene that's end up being cut from the movie.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I think there's a conspiracy theory going on behind these. Well, I have a conspiracy theory, which is that this picture, it's this little picture. It's like, let me look at the dimensions. It's 233 by 164 pixels. It's this little picture, and it's definitely from Half-Blood Prince, because if you look at the other one of Harry that was officially released, Harry's wearing the same thing. And, like, you have to wonder, where does this come from? So I'm thinking, my theory is that WB planted this somewhere online, this sort of to do a little viral, stir up some excitement in the fandom. Because
you
where
think it
could this
be,
come from
that
besides WB?
Me.
Do you think it may be like a little screenshot from the teaser?
No.
Because it's obviously not an official pick.
Yeah, it is.
If it wasn't, then wouldn't they have like a better resolution of it?
Well, yeah, no, it's an official pick, but it somehow got leaked. So,
well, that's okay. That's what I meant. Sorry,
I thought you meant like I don't know, but
like someone took like a Nokia.
I think WB just does this stuff to get people going. I think it's very manipulative, and I don't appreciate it.
I was actually going to say the same thing. I think it's just something that was thrown out there by Warner Brothers to get people excited for the fact that the trailer is going to be released sometime in the near future. And it really, it's probably the most uninteresting photo I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Hermione's not even in it, so people can't argue about her hair in the comments.
Right, yeah.
Know?
No.
Well, my other thing with this picture, and we don't have to go into this, but Warner Brothers will usually complain when an unauthorized picture shows up online. And I was afraid to get confirmation about WB about this picture because I thought they would tell us to take it down right away. I didn't say a thing to them. They didn't say a thing to any of us. So I think it was planted. I think they're just screwing with us. And it's really immature. I just think it's stupid how they try to mess with fans. Yeah, they're being a tease about the teaser trailer. And then this random picture just happens to show up.
The day that we were supposed to get the teaser trailer, nonetheless.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the day everyone thought.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on from movie news.
A little bit of news about J.K. Rowling. It was announced that she's going to be participating with 13 other, or 12 other authors writing a story card on one sheet of paper. And each of these story cards are going to be auctioned off to benefit charity. And she also picked up an award this week. I mean, she just keeps pulling all those in. I wonder if she has a room in her house that she just stores all these things in. Because this one was for Children's Choice Author of the Year, as voted on by roughly 55,000 children. So just a little bit of news on
Congrats to her.
Yeah.
What's interesting about the story card is that she's going to be, all these authors are writing original stories on one sheet of paper. So it'll be cool to see what Joe comes up with. I mean,
yep.
I think it'll be sort of Beetle the Bard-ish, like a little fairy tale maybe.
Right. So. And they also mentioned that these stories will be on sale to the public later this summer, so I'm sure a bunch of us will get our hands on them.
Yeah, it's going to be in a postcard book, and then also, I posted an update to that news post. They, Waterstones is holding a contest where the three winners of this contest will be published in this postcard book alongside Joe's entry. So that's pretty cool being published in the same book that Joe's in. Laurie, you should write something.
Yeah, actually, I might consider doing that. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, go for it. A little bit of movie news related to Deathly Hallows. An article in The Scotsman earlier this week said that filming is supposed to begin for the seventh movie. And actually, Andrew, you made this post, but you also pointed out the fact that David Heyman revealed in an interview earlier this year that he thought filming wouldn't begin till February of 2009.
Yeah. Well, I think the Scottsdale was talking about some B-roll filming, because you know how they'll go into the mountains and they'll just shoot like scenic shots for like transitions and stuff like that.
Right.
I think that's all this filming later this year is going to be. You know, who cares when filming starts as long as the movie doesn't get delayed or anything.
Yeah.
All right. And the last piece of news is related to Tom Felton, unfortunately, I have not listened to what this news post is about. So
you haven't?
I have not.
Oh, Micah.
What's a shame.
This is like the most primary piece of news we've had all week.
Well, okay, hear me out. Tom Felton surprised me with his little musical performance. He's been putting his songs, he sings them acoustically, he plays the guitar while singing, and he's put these on YouTube, and it said on one of the videos that he's going to be having an album on iTunes soon. So here, let me just play you guys a little clip, and you know, we can talk about our thoughts.
And I'll remember sharing lips with her the coming weeks were to be a blur, 'cause time with her is like no other. She can make a winter's day feel like the summer. And it's so, so nice to have her alone, 'cause you know I made her leave a mobile phone at home. The clock's ticking, but I don't mind, because there's no one else I'd rather share my time. And I've no idea where that day gone went, yet I know that it's time well spent. And I've no idea where that day gone went, yet I know that it's time well spent. So I sing.
How nice is that?
It's actually quite good, I think.
I know.
Yeah, it's uncanny.
Wow.
When he sings, it's like you don't even know he's British.
It's very well. The funny part, the funny line is the mobile phone. The mobile phone.
Oh, that's.
I think it's very. It's a very relaxing like music. Don't you like it, Laura?
It is very nice. Yeah.
I'm impressed. Why can't people like him be on American Idol? I'd vote for him.
It's just, it's so unexpected because you don't look at Tom Felton and expect him to go from Harry Potter to musician.
Well, I was expecting him to go from like when he's singing, I'm sitting with my girl for the summer. I sit up on a tree and yell, why so tense, Potter? Or something, you know?
So, Matt, perhaps. That was really you singing before, right? Because you just sounded exactly like
That was pretty good. That's that. I mean, nothing big there. He was featured on YouTube on Saturday, right on the main page, which is kind of cool. His little he calls his musical alias is Felt Beats, which I guess is okay.
Felt Beats. That's his nickname too, it seems, because a lot of the other co-stars of Harry Potter call him Felt Beats too.
Why? Like
I don't know. It's just I've been
he's stalking his Facebook.
No.
Yes. Anyway, let's move on to some announcements this week. One of our own has graduated while we're recording today, Saturday. Mikey Bouchereau graduated from college today. Round of applause for him. He was going to try to be on the show today. Am I the only one clapping?
No, I just did.
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear it.
I silent clapped.
Oh. Well, so congrats to him. That's good for him. He was going to try to come on the show today, but I was like, dude, you're graduating. So,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's great. Good for him.
He's got
good
a degree.
He's set.
He's set.
He's got a good job. I don't know if he wants to talk about it, but maybe he'll talk about it later. Also, don't forget to vote for us on Podcast Alley. We are number one currently. So thank you to everyone who's been voting for us in MuggleCast May. And also, we posted this on MuggleCast.com earlier this week. If you are going to, say the trailer does come out with Indiana Jones and we announce, you know, we let you know on MuggleNet, if it does so happen that the trailer's coming out and you're going to see Indiana Jones, I want to kick off a listener challenge that we did with the Order of the Phoenix trailer, which is that when you go to the theater, bring your video camera, and at the end of the Half-Blood Prince trailer, yell, MuggleNet.com, and then send it in, upload it on YouTube, send it to us, and then we'll post it on the site. It's a little fun thing, I think. A little cheesy way to promote MuggleNet, but it's so funny. I have some examples on YouTube.
Is it illegal?
Order of the Phoenix. No, it's not illegal. There's some video examples on MuggleCast.com from the Order of Phoenix trailer, so definitely check those out. Lastly, Laura, I hear we're going to be somewhere this July.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, it's the land of my childhood, so I'm really excited about that. But
she's going to the the motherland.
But we're going to be at Portis 2008 this July in Dallas, and we're all pretty excited about that. I think
it's going to be fun. Yeah. All of us here have been booking our flights and the hotels.
Yeah, I'm so stoked.
It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, if you haven't registered yet, please do, because it's going to be a blast. And
you're
going to
get the best in Harry Potter conventions this summer. I'll tell you what, no Harry Potter convention has ever had such a big celebrity as Jim Dale, who is going to be at Portis. He's going to be talking to everyone. He may, you know, maybe treat us to some audiobook readings. I don't know, but definitely check it out, portis2008.org. Yeah. We will be there doing a podcast on the night of the Podcast Palooza. So, Portis2008.org, sign up, come to the convention, hang out with us. It's going to be a great time. You guys excited or what? I am so pumped.
I'm pumped. It's going to be so fun. We always have such a good time at these conventions.
Really?
And on top of it, I mean, maybe I'm biased, but Texas is a great place. There's so much to do. Maybe not in Dallas, but in neighboring Fort Worth, there's a ton to do.
Well, there's going to be a lot to do in Dallas that weekend.
Exactly.
In that hotel. We're not going to be leaving the hotel. There's no reason. There's so much going on.
And it's so huge.
The hotel's big.
Yeah.
Mike and Laura report that it's like the biggest one in the world.
Well, everything's huge. Bigger in Texas.
True. It's very true.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Muggle Mail for this week. I'll start off with the first email because it was my bad last week. This email comes from Paige 20 of Chatham, Virginia. She writes, "As an avid knitter, I was thrilled that you all decided to discuss Harry Potter yarn on the show. I just wanted to clear up that yarn normally comes in what is called a skein, not a spool. Also, I thought you might be interested to know that Harry Potter-related knitting is so popular that there's a book, Charmed Knits by Allison Hansel, devoted to it, where you can learn to knit house scarves, Dobby socks, and more. Thanks for all the time that you guys devote to the show. I look forward to listening to MuggleCast every week. Love, Paige." Thank you, Paige, for clearing that up. A lot of people did email in. That technically wasn't my fault because I was looking for the word and then someone answered it for me. I forget who it was.
Our next Muggle Mail comes from Jeffrey, age 14, of Richmond Hill, Ontario. He says, "Dear MuggleCasters, while listening to MuggleCast episode 144, I would just like to say while you were discussing Voldemort's Horcrux at Hogwarts, Harry saw this, and I quote, chipped bust of an ugly old warlock from on top of a nearby crate. He stood it on the cupboard where the book was now hidden, perched a dusty old wig and a tarnished tiara on the statue's head to make it more distinctive." This is on page 493, UK, of Half-Blood Prince chapter Sectum Sempra.
This is in response to, I remember on this episode, we were trying to figure out had the diadem of Ravenclaw ever been seen prior to Deathly Hallows. And clearly it had.
Oh, right. Okay.
So that was the whole point of that. So,
Mike, as a reward, why don't you take the next email?
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The next email comes from Sarah
Skirtick.
Skirtick.
That's a cool name. 16. Sarah Skirtick.
Of Munster, Indiana. She says, "Hey everyone, I love the show and I just wanted to comment on last week's chapter by chapter discussion. When you were talking about the passwords for the different house common rooms, you mentioned that they were able to get into the Slytherin common room only because they were Slytherin. Actually, when they were walking in with Malfoy, Malfoy turns to Harry and asks him what the new password is. Then he remembers it and turns around and says, Pureblood. The line is on page 221 of the American paperback edition. Just wanted to clear that up. I love the show and look forward to listening to it every week. Thanks for all the work you guys put in. Sarah."
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks for correcting our mistake.
Okay, our next email comes from Danielle, 15 of Indianapolis, Indiana. Danielle writes, "Hi. I was listening to episode 145, and you were discussing what would happen if someone would try to enter the Room of Requirement while it was in use. This happened in Half-Blood Prince when Draco was in it, and Trelawney tried to enter. In page 541 of the U.S. edition, Trelawney explains how she had gotten in, but as soon as she asked who was there, everything turned pitch black, and she was hurled from the room. Since we know Malfoy was in there, this probably means that once Trelawney entered, Malfoy wanted her gone, so the room threw her out. So we know that it is possible to gain access to the room, even that if it's in use. You just have to know what to think. Keep up the great work, Danielle."
There's some more clarification. Thank you, Danielle. Next email comes from Autumn, 19 of New Jersey. She writes about the Lupin Tonks wedding. "The rumor comes from the MuggleNet editorial for The Greater Good, Lessons for Deathly Hallows from Lord of the Rings. I actually really like the idea of putting the wedding and Shell Cottage on Tonks and Lupin if they won't be bringing back Fleur and bringing in Bill. This also makes their deaths during the Battle of Hogwarts much more effective because we have spent more time with them in the movie. They haven't just been passing characters that people who have not read the books don't know. There were people who didn't remember Lupin from movie 3 to 5. This way, the non-readers are reacquainted with them and get to know more about them and develop some attachment to them and their new baby."
That's interesting.
Yeah.
The last email for today comes from Ariana, 18, of California. And she says, "Hey guys, first of all, I would like to say that I love listening to this show on my computer during AP study time. It always makes boring study time fun. Anyway, I was watching Order of the Phoenix the other day, and I came across the scene where Luna tells Harry, after Sirius dies, and he, Harry, asks if she needed any help finding shoes, and she replies, 'That's all right. Anyway, my mom always said things we lose have a way of coming back to us in the end, if not always in the way we expect.' Do you think this foreshadowed what happens in Deathly Hallows, where James, Lily, Sirius, and Remus come back through the Resurrection Stone? Please give me your opinion, and I love you."
Aww. Oh,
that's so sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I think it's nice. They kind of they somewhat paraphrased that from her quote in the book, where she said it was something along the lines of, like, it's not as though I'll never see her again. You know, so I feel like they were just kind of shortening that lineup a bit.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, well, people were asking, too, if that whole Sirius and Harry talk in the film of Prisoner of Azkaban, when he said, "And you'll always find them in here," and he went to he pushed Harry's chest. And a lot of people thought that was the foreshadowing of Deathly Hallows, when he was talking about his family or something. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Rumor?
Yeah.
So this is probably, around the same... situation too.
So let's move along now to chapter by chapter. This week we're going to be discussing chapter 30, The Sacking of Severus Snape. Micah, you left us sort of on a cliffhanger last week because you had said that this chapter had one of your favorite scenes. Is that what you said?
I did say that, yeah.
Yeah, you were. So I'm excited to know what exactly is your favorite part of this, because it's rare you actually get excited about something these days. Usually you're just complaining.
You're right. It was awesome getting to read the scene again. I actually read it this morning, but do you want me to talk about it right now, or do you want me to mention it when we actually get to it?
Yeah, I'll mention it once we actually get to it.
Okay.
I just wanted to hear a little positivity come out of you for once. So, the chapter starts off with Luna just, saving Harry by, quickly stunning Electo Caro, and, which could be a very funny movie.
Does anybody besides me think Electo is a male name?
Yeah, it does sound rather masculine, doesn't it?
Yeah, because,
mainly
because
it ends in O.
Spanish words, O is more of a masculine vowel.
Yeah, should be Electa.
Yeah.
Electo was one of the Greek furies in mythology.
There you go. J.K. Rowling loves her Greek.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I put that in there about it being pretty funny is I think Luna's just... funny in this chapter in general, just kind of her attitude overall towards things is, it's not very serious what's going on. She just kind of goes about it everything matter of factly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I could see what you mean by being funny in the film too. You can like see Electo getting like stunned, going across the room, and Harry just turns his head, and there's Luna with her vacant expression, with her wand in the air, going, "Wow, that made a louder noise than I expected it."
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but that's Luna's character in general. She's always so out there that she doesn't really ever take anything seriously.
Does take it seriously. I just don't think she's passionate when she expresses it. She's not very out and open.
She's like, just a very tranquil person.
Yeah.
So, more on the Ravenclaw common room gaining access to it. Last week, I was saying, well, how is it possible for Harry to get in so easily? And now, in this chapter, McGonagall gets in. No problem. Right. And she does it by answering a question, just like Harry did. And this was also really funny, because the door says it was nicely phrased and then opens up.
Mm-hmm.
It swung open. So how can she get in? Why can she get in so easily?
That's the million dollar question. I mean, the reason Harry was able to get in was because he had Luna, and this idea that anybody, though, with half a brain, right? I mean, if you can reason well enough, and I'm sure there's plenty of students in other houses or even adults in this case who would look to get in. Obviously, Amicus is pretty much an idiot, as we come to learn in this chapter, and he doesn't have the brains to get in there, but think about somebody a little bit more powerful in terms of Death Eaters, maybe even Voldemort himself, would be able to reason an answer to this question. And to me, that just seems a little bit too easy. And the same can be said of just an just a regular password to get access to a common room, but that's a little bit more difficult unless you're told the password yourself.
I guess the other question is there really an important reason for the common rooms to be really secure? You know
I guess
what I mean?
Not. I mean, it's not.
I mean, just in terms.
Sorry,
Matt. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, in terms of safety. I mean, things. It does seem a bit weird that they didn't change the rules for the passwords to the common room after Voldemort's rise. But it would seem like that during times of, you know, peace and tranquility, no one would really be that concerned. Because the worst thing that you would have happen would be someone would break into a common room that wasn't theirs.
Right.
So, but yeah, it does seem a little irregular that it was done this way.
To me, I think the Ravenclaw common room entrance, I think it's almost just as protective, if not more, than, you know, the others. I mean, all you have to have is a password that you can get from anybody. If someone hands you a piece of paper that's written of the, like, the Gryffindor common room password, anyone can get in. But with the Ravenclaw, I mean, the questions change every single time.
But it's still anyone could answer.
Well, anyone can get in any common room if they just had the password too.
Right.
So
no, I agree. But I think there is a better excuse for McGonagall being able to get in because she's a professor
and she's a head of
head of house. You're right, but I don't think it would make more sense she'd be able to get access because she's a professor. Because, you know, look at real schools; teachers have master keys for the most part. You know.
Yeah, why couldn't they just get a key to their common room? I mean, the kids.
Well, you could also share the keys.
Well, yeah.
Right.
There's no good.
Yeah,
there's
always
way
a hole.
Of doing
there's
this.
Always some loophole or something.
Always. But there's always a way.
I mean, talking about security overall, though, I think that even if you think about dorms, everybody has a lock on their door, and most of the time the buildings themselves get locked up at night. You have to have a security card to gain entrance. So it's not that far out there to think that you know, these common rooms shouldn't have passwords or something that protects them from the outside
world.
Well,
keep in mind that Hogwarts or that the Harry Potter books are set in a pre-9/11 world. So I think that plays a factor too.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that people locked their doors before 9/11 too.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I'm saying after 9/11, everything changed. It was sort of a joke, but.
Well, I mean, honestly, I think all the common rooms should have like those eye scanners or something.
Okay. Well, hey, it is magic. I mean, the thing should just know if the person who's trying to get in is a Gryffindor or not anyway.
Yeah, but that'd be too easy.
Too easy. And true. Anyway, let's move on. I think Hogwarts will be just fine in the way it's been operating.
Yeah. I mean, no one's going to break in.
Yeah. So what happens next?
What happens next? Well, they enter the common room, shockingly. There's this whole scene that takes place, and Amicus comes in and he sees his sister lying on the ground. And what eventually ends up developing is this conversation between Amicus and McGonagall. And Amicus is starting to freak out because he knows that she's put up the Dark Mark, and this has told Voldemort that they've captured Harry.
Right.
And for him, he knows that, for all he knows, Harry is not even there. He has no clue that Harry's in the room. So he figures, well, my sister's in a whole lot of trouble now because she just summoned the Dark Mark and told Voldemort that Harry's here. And for all I can tell, Harry's nowhere to be found. So he goes through this whole thing where he tries to come up with an idea of blaming this on the Ravenclaw students that have come into the common room when they heard Electo getting hit with that spell. So what are your guys' thoughts on this? I mean, it goes back to the whole idea of what we've talked about through this entire series, this entire book, actually, and that is that there's this complete disregard for human life on a part of the Death Eaters. And this was just
even
more.
They care for their lives more than anything else.
Yeah, we're talking about children.
Getting killed by Voldemort is the worst way to go. So,
right. I mean, the students are just dispensable to them.
Right. Yeah.
And then McGonagall has a great line in here, and I can see Maggie Smith saying these lines, you know, she turns to Amicus and says, "You're not going to pass off your many ineptitudes on the students of Hogwarts. I shall not permit it." And so, you know, McGonagall's starting to fight back a little bit. Do you guys think she had any idea that Harry was there at that point?
I don't think so, because she seemed really shocked by it. And
she was clutching her chest.
It said that she fell down in a chair.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. And then we get into the whole spitting incident between Amicus and McGonagall.
Yes.
And this is my favorite scene, I think, in Deathly Hallows, to be honest, is when Harry rips off the invisibility cloak and performs the Cruciatus Curse on Amicus.
Yeah.
And Harry says, "You shouldn't have done that," just because it sent Harry over the edge and it gave him that extra push to perform the Cruciatus Curse, right?
Right.
And that's basically what he's saying, which is awesome.
And then he also refers to the fact that, you know, Bellatrix, who told him back in Order of the Phoenix that you really have to mean it, he actually felt the effects of the curse.
That's why I thought that, yeah.
And I love the line where McGonagall told him he shouldn't have done that, and he just very simply said, "Well, he spit at you."
Yeah. He spat at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, do you think that the fact that he felt really really emotional towards Professor McGonagall when she said, "Harry's in my house," because in the book he says that he had a lot of, you know, a respect for her at that moment when he said that? Do you think that fueled the hatred when he spat in her face to do the...
Well, I think that just gave Harry more of a reason to protect her, because, you know, she's showing how much how she protects Harry. Harry's in my house. Mm-hmm. Back off. He can't be here.
Yeah, so. But it was just an even bigger slope down from, like, being extremely, you know, respectable to Professor McGonagall, and then seeing this her immediately being spat in the face.
Yeah,
it just goes from, you know, a really happy moment to a really furious feeling.
So, Micah, did you think that this was leading up to him using Avada Kedavra on Voldemort? I mean, if he can perform an unforgivable curse on a Death Eater, killing Voldemort should be no problem.
Well, this is the second time, really, or the second of the two or the three unforgivable curses that he uses in the book. Mm-hmm. And that's why what led me to believe, I thought that he was going to end up using the killing curse in the end. I thought it was sort of leading up to it. He uses the Imperius curse in Gringotts, and then, you know, uses the Cruciatus curse here. So I thought we were going to actually see him use the killing curse. But we all know that didn't end up happening. He used the, the ever powerful
Expelliarmus.
Exactly. And, you know, who isn't scared of that?
Oh my god. So, that red flashed. Ah, scary.
Yeah.
So that was just kind of my thinking as the book progressed, that's where we were going with it, but it ended up not happening. So
I think this whole chapter is for Professor McGonagall. This is the scene that all of the fans of Maggie Smith have been waiting for. Honestly, because this is this entire chapter, she gets spat in the face. She pretty much controls Hogwarts in this scene, and she leads Harry into. I mean, she has her moment. This is one of her moments in the series. I think one of her biggest moments too.
Definitely.
Yeah, and you know, I have to say, it's not oftentimes when I read these books and I actually visualize one of the actors from the movies acting out the role, but with Maggie Smith, I absolutely almost always envision her reading these lines and acting out this part.
Yeah.
So she's definitely a very strong actress, and I can't wait to see her do this in the movie.
There's this one part in the chapter I'm going to say until we get to that part where I immediately saw her as the actress playing this role. So
yeah. Well, and I just think, I mean, She's sort of been in the background for such a long time in these movies.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of be the scene that, and I saw the movies before I read the books. So to me, Maggie Smith has always been Professor McGonagall. So I'm looking forward to this.
So McGonagall gets all into it once Harry tells her that he's acting on Professor Dumbledore's orders, and she's willing to help immediately to lock down the school, which is another awesome great line that should really shine through in the movie. And Harry doesn't give out more information at this point. And at this time, also, Voldemort is all but certain that his Horcruxes are being destroyed. So what harm would it have... Micah asks in the discussion, what harm would it have done to tell McGonagall, Flitwick, Sprout, or especially Slughorn, what's going on? But I don't know, Micah. I really don't think... You know, first of all, there wasn't time, I don't think, to set up the story again. Why do you think it would have been important? I mean, don't you think all they really need to know that is that Voldemort's coming to the school and going to kill anyone who's in his way?
Yes, I agree with that. But at the same time, I think with this whole idea of trying to find the lost diadem, it would have reinforced the importance of him needing to find it. So maybe any more knowledge that they were that they had could have been used. I mean, obviously, he ends up finding it, but kind of on a whim, as opposed to getting some sort of clear-cut information from, you know, one of the professors.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I agree with that, because there is one point where they're like, why does that matter in this time of peril?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it would have been easier for Harry that way. But at the same time, I think he really recognized the importance of keeping it secret.
Yeah.
And he even stated later that the reason he told Ron and Hermione was so that there would be people to take his place in case he died.
Right.
So it's really, it's like a life or death situation. You find close people that you will trust in the case that you can no longer carry out the search. And those are the only people who can know.
Well, and McGonagall was really, you know, accepting of when he told him that it was Dumbledore's orders. I mean, she didn't give a second thought about it either.
Yeah, it was almost like there was a flip of a switch. You know, she was constantly telling him, you shouldn't be here, what are you doing here? But then as soon as Dumbledore's name came up in conversation, like Matt said, it was just like an automatic, okay, mm-hmm.
She wasn't like that in Half-Blood Prince either. Didn't she kind of give Harry a little bit of a 2020 interview about that? Saying, I think you should tell me.
So then from there, McGonagall summons the other heads of house, and they have this big duel with Snape. Just reading this back and knowing that Snape is good, what do you think he really was going to do to Harry when Snape said that he must insist?
I don't think he really expected it to happen like this, though.
Who?
I mean, no, Snape.
Snape?
I don't think he really knew what he was going to do.
In my opinion, I think what happened was Snape's, the mark on his arm started to move, and he clearly realized what that meant, and that meant that Harry was at Hogwarts. So I think part of it was probably him just freaking out, because he realized what he had to do, and that the time had come for him to tell Harry that, look, this has been the plan all along, and... I think in that situation, he wasn't going to do anything to harm Harry, clearly, but maybe, you know, he was looking around almost nervously to see where Harry was. He knew that Harry had an invisibility cloak. He just wasn't sure where he was or whether or not he was with McGonagall.
He was probably very nervous, too, because, I mean, besides Harry and Hermione and Ron, and Snape probably knows the situation just as much as they do. Because he's that close with Voldemort, so he knows that Voldemort knows that they're after the Horcruxes. And he knows they have no time left.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a poor situation for Snape, and I couldn't help but feel bad for him when he's being attacked in this case.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, they had to be careful in this time of peril.
Oh, and who doesn't want to see Alan Rickman and Maggie Smith duel in a scene?
Well.
Oh, yeah. I think that'll be really good.
I guess. The way they... blown duels in Order of the Phoenix. I wouldn't get my hopes up. They'll be throwing water balls at each other.
They're water balloons?
It'll be like Pokemon.
Water balloons, sorry. So, Snape can turn into a bat and fly. Apparently, Snape's
well,
the new Batman.
A bat-like, not a bat.
What does it say? Yeah, turn into a bat-like. Yeah, what was with that? Was that kind of random or what?
Yeah, it's
no,
just
he
like,
learned how to fly.
Oh, he's a bat now.
From Voldemort.
Snape, man.
It's bad enough everybody thought that he was a vampire.
Well, based on all that talk that had existed before Deathly Hallows that he was a vampire, just the words bat-like weren't that uncommon for or surprising, I didn't think.
Well, maybe they're just trying to shoot. J.K. Rowling was just trying to tell us how it really looked like when Voldemort was flying all by himself. Because there's no real explanation except just like smoke billowing from beneath him, right?
Right. So after Snape takes flight and leaves, there's this whole discussion that goes on between the heads of house and Harry. And basically what McGonagall is going to do is rally the troops. The ones who are old enough and can stay behind will fight. The others are going to be taken out through the room of requirement to the Hogshead to apparate away from Hogwarts. And again, this is another line that I picked out of the book for Maggie Smith, which I think is going to be an awesome line in the series. And she tells Professor Slughorn in particular, who's the most apprehensive about the situation that lies ahead, and she tells him the time has come for Slytherin House to decide upon its loyalties. And she even tells him that if they try anything, that they're going to fight to the death.
To the death. It's so, like, it just shows, like, McGonagall's scared at this point. And just, there's no BS, there's no room for BS, like, with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty strange.
Yeah, it's great, because she's telling people exactly what she thinks of them. Like, at one point when Filch comes in, she calls him a blithering idiot.
Yeah.
And at one point when he's, like, she tells him to go find Peeves, and he's perplexed by it, and she says, yes, haven't you been complaining about him for the last quarter of a century?
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is also one of those traits of Gryffindors that a lot of people don't seem to think about. It's when Gryffindors are very blunt when they talk. They don't really go through the formalities, especially in these kind of situations. They just pretty much speak whatever's going through their head.
Yeah. Well, this is just going to be overall, I think, an awesome scene in the movie. Hopefully, if they don't mess it up too badly. But yeah, you sort of have the unifying of the houses. And as Laura mentioned, you have McGonagall telling Filch to go get Peeves. So it's really a rallying of the troops, in essence. And the best part is, you know, when Flitwick is casting the protective spell over Hogwarts, you have Professor Sprout, who's going to run off, and I don't know what she's going to get, but she mentions a couple of things that she could be
Devil's
using
snare.
In the fight. And then McGonagall, and I hope I don't butcher this, but she does the spell Pyr Totum Locomotor, and I just think this is going to be
awesome. This was the scene I was talking about.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is probably one of going to be the most badass scenes you're going to see in this part of the book or the movie.
Right.
If they follow like what the other movies have done, she's probably going to put like her wand near her throat, and then it's just going to echo through the entire castle and all the statues and armor. Are just going to come alive and start running down the halls.
And then Dumbledore's army, the Order of the Phoenix, and even Harry's old Gryffindor Quidditch team are awaiting him in the room of requirement. It's turning into sort of like the locker room, so to speak. It's just like, or it's like the situation room in the White House. Like, everyone's there. And then Percy returns. Aw, who cares?
I know.
Does anyone care? I mean, it was nice.
Not really.
But...
yeah.
It seemed kind
At
of
that point,
in there.
I had become... At that point, like, Percy had become so unimportant to me as a character.
Right.
I was just like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Closure. That's nice.
It was It was refreshing. I remember being kind of excited. I don't remember seeing Laura crying, so
yeah.
I guess it wasn't that big of a deal.
I did a lot of that during the book, but anyway.
Odds are this part is going to be cut anyway, since they're probably not even going to have Percy in this film.
So, and then the chapter, this is pretty much... the end of the chapter, where Harry gets back to the room of requirement, all those people are there, and then he has sort of this vision again of Voldemort, and he's standing outside the gates of Hogwarts, and the line that J.K. Rowling used was, he was possessed of that cold, cruel sense of purpose that preceded murder.
Ooh.
So...
yeah, I think I remember reading that. And, I mean, of course, you know, we were reading the book straight through, so it wasn't like there was any chance throughout any other chapters that I was going to put the book down. But this definitely solidified my turning the next page
right.
and not eating or sleeping or showering or anything until I finished this book because it was so good.
This is definitely not a chapter you just read once. I mean, just read this one chapter and not continue. It was bad enough we had to just read this one chapter this week.
Yeah, yeah, I was disappointed with that too, actually, because these chapters seem to fly by, and I wanted to keep reading, but then I just confused myself when I'm talking about chapter by chapter.
Yeah.
I think that does it for our discussion, right?
Yeah, we're just left off in the chapter when Harry's trying to find Ron and Hermione.
But so that does it for that discussion, which leads us...
Quote quiz!
Sorry, that was really loud.
Yeah.
Intended for
that
loud. Sorry. I sought to make myself cleverer, more important than my mother. I ran away with it.
Who could that be?
So we have some voicemails this week. Come back with some voicemails, and we have several good ones. We're gonna take a fun one first. Laura, I think everyone's gonna enjoy this. This is pretty intriguing. So
All right.
Here's the first voicemail.
Hi guys, this is Jason from Kentucky again. Got one thought for you concerning Laura. I've had suspicion for a while now that actually Laura is Amanda from Survivor. If you listen to their voices, it's the same. And somehow, I believe that Amanda is actually Laura. It's like a different personality for her, but not very different. And that she somehow snuck like a satellite phone onto the island so that she can call in for MuggleCast. Just a thought. Bye.
So, I looked into this, Laura, because I you know.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone here watch Survivor by chance?
No.
I do.
Do you? Do you know who Amanda is?
Sure. I've watched the season, but sporadically, I know it just ended, so.
Well, here's a clip of Amanda, and I think this caller is right.
I trust Parv completely. I think her and I can go really far in this game, you know, because we both have different strategies, and we have different personalities, but together, like, I think we can do a lot.
Laura, I think that really sounds like you.
It sounds like the Valley Girl version of Laura.
You guys found me out. That is my alter ego.
Doesn't it sound like her though?
And I like really think we do a lot together.
It does sound kind of scripted for Survivor, but
yeah, you know what though? It's not the first time I've had people saying that I sound like someone else. A couple of other people have said I sound like Pam from The Office.
Yeah, sort of.
Which I don't really hear that as much, but you know.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought that was pretty funny. Next voicemail.
Hey guys, this is Joe, 13, from Massachusetts. Yeah, I'm calling about what I just bought in Barnes & Noble today. I just got out and I went in there. I was in the children's section where Barnes & Noble usually has Harry Potter. And it wasn't there. They took the section out. They replaced it with, like, the Spiderwick Chronicles and Chronicles of Narnia and some other stuff. And I usually don't really care about that stuff, but it just kind of hit me for a second. I was like, whoa, the books really are over, and they're not selling as much. And I was just kind of sad for a second there. I know the movies are still going on and everything, but it takes longer than others to hit them that the series is actually over. For me, it just happened for the books. I don't know. I just called in with that depressing note.
Laura, you and I were in a Borders the other day, and it was kind of weird seeing the Harry Potter books like on a shelf, and it wasn't even like the complete collection. They were sort of just like whatever they had left over.
Yeah, it was pretty crappy. They had like just a few of the paperbacks. There weren't that many. They didn't even have a complete collection
yeah.
of those.
I thought it was pretty sad.
It was off in a corner, too.
Yeah.
Well, I think
to show you the books are over.
I think they're just going to have another bookshelf of them when the movie comes out anyway. Because their only reason why they had mm-hmm. a whole presentation of Narnia was because the movie's coming out for Prince Caspian. I mean, Narnia's been... The last book was, what, last issued in the 50s?
Yeah.
Just like Lord of the Rings, so... It's just because it's right now it's out in
it's
popular
hot.
Culture, yeah.
It's hot.
It's hot.
All right, next voicemail.
Hi, MuggleCast. Hi, I'm Erica. I'm 20 and I'm from Chicago, Illinois. Well, I am not upset with you guys because your show is awesome, of course, and I listen every week. But just the fact that with the WB that how we don't have a teaser trailer yet and how we have, like, movies like Twilight, and they have, like, their teaser trailer and stuff out. And I was just wondering, well, do you think that because of the trial with J.K. Rowling and Steve Vanderart or whatever, do you think that that's the reason we haven't got a teaser trailer yet? Because they're trying to settle that first before they can, you know, give us a trailer or whatever. Just wanted to know what you guys thought about that. Love you guys' show. Been a huge listener since day one. All right, I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for that. You know, the reason I included this voicemail is because this has crossed my mind before. Do you guys think it could be because of the trial?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, most people don't even know about the trial.
That's right.
Yeah, I know, but it just seems weird how Warner Brothers has been acting with releasing stuff thus far, and, like, the only difference this year is the trial, so...
Warner Brothers has been acting a little, you know, skimpy with updates and things on the film, but, I mean, the film itself is not really connected to the trial. And they have released,
well, it's Warner
but they
Brothers.
Have release dates to consider too. I mean,
it just seems weird. I don't know. It's crossed my mind. So
because the outcome of this trial is not going to affect when the movie is going to be released or not.
Well,
anyway.
I could just like, I agree with that. But like, I'm just picturing, you know, this trailer hitting, you know, theaters, and then the same day or the next day, Warner Brothers, Harry Potter court trial, blah 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 blah. So it's like,
yeah,
maybe the trailer would be overshadowed by the trial.
But see, the trial isn't even that widely known besides Harry Potter fans
well,
and fanatics.
That's what the teaser trailer's for.
But the teaser trailer is teasing the general public,
and
not
all the fans.
Well, I wouldn't say that it wasn't known. I mean, it was definitely written up in a bunch of different newspapers throughout the world. So
yeah, but a lot of people don't really know the specifics, and a lot of people really don't care, to be honest.
But I'm just thinking it could overshadow it. I mean, because, you know, it's hard enough for them to get publicity for a teaser trailer, which is pretty important because that's when they start the teaser posters.
But also the book and the films are two different venues.
It doesn't matter. Warner Brothers is still involved because they own the copyrights.
Right. They own the copyrights. But, I mean, are you saying they're just taking the whole publicity of the film on the back burner during this trial because it's bringing everybody's attention to it and no one's
working
on it?
I'm saying that
the
trial could overshadow the hype of the teaser trailer in a negative light.
I don't think so.
Well, yeah, I think it's possible that they could be acting cautiously. Whether they need to or not is a matter of opinion.
Well, it's definitely obvious Warner Brothers is doing something based on this trial because they're not even telling us anything. Since the trial began, really. There hasn't been any real official updates or anything on the film.
Right.
Well, my question is, how far in advance do you generally receive a teaser trailer for a movie?
Well, look at it this way. Like, we got the Order of the Phoenix trailer with Happy Feet. I'm going to look it up. I think it came out in January, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
So I guess then we're not really late for a trailer, are we? What made me think that?
No,
we're
late for a teaser.
Wait, we're late for a teaser trailer.
The teaser came out in November.
Right, oh, November 17th.
And the movie didn't come out until July.
We're already, I said this last time, we're over a month overdue if we're going by the Goblet of Fire, or the Order of the Phoenix teaser trailer.
Well, maybe you're right, Andrew. Maybe it does have something to do with the court case.
I just think it would be negative. I think it would be a bad mix of publicity. You got this negative court trial, and then you got this positive teaser. They're being quiet differently. You know, it's something's going on. Anyway, we'll see what happens. Hopefully this week. Next voicemail.
Hi, I was just catching up on some episodes, and you were talking about, you were going over the chapter, The Deathly Hallows. And you're talking about how it's interesting that the Deathly Hallows usually got people killed. And you didn't mention how it's ironic that Dumbledore, the only thing he wanted to see was his family again, which is why he had the Resurrection Stone. And it ended up causing his death when he asked Snape to finish him off. And the curse spread up his arm. So he did actually end up going to see his family again.
It's a little bit of irony there. Thought it was kind of clever. Ooh, excuse me. So that does it for voicemails this week. So we're going to step back into the past here with this week in MuggleCast. We're going to go all the way back to May 21st, 2006 with the episode 40, Hatin' on Dumbledore. This was, of course, the controversial episode that MuggleNet staff member, well, former MuggleNet staff member Jess was on. So let's go back in time here. We got to do the little...
However, this feeds my theory that Dumbledore is an idiot and that Dumbledore is evil and that Dumbledore deserved to fall off the astronomy tower dead because...
Never insult Albus Dumbledore in front of me.
Well, you know... Well, I've never liked Dumbledore. I just don't like Dumbledore. I think he's a fraud. I think he deserved everything he got. And
who are
you? I think almost in a way that he sets up Harry into these situations so he can't take the blame
for
you're like, whatever happens. Yeah.
I am on the verge of crying. I can't believe you would say this.
You're like the National Enquirer on MuggleCast.
It's true. I cried. It was so sad.
I know. I laughed and took pictures while Laura cried over Dumbledore's death.
That was a classic. That was a classic scene. So yeah, after that episode, we got a lot of negative feedback about Jess. Still can't figure out why.
Well, because people see there's. I've noticed that there is a trend, and not to say that like we got hundreds of emails or anything, but every now and then. If someone says something that a few people disagree with, they feel like it was a personal attack upon themselves and their theories, and they decide to blow it out of proportion.
Right. So Laura is back at home. She's congrats, Laura, on finishing your first year of college.
Thank
by
you
the
very
way.
Much. Likewise to yourself.
Oh, thank you. And my first time leaving a college too. So you're back at home, and you had time to check out the P.O. Box, and we're going to do a little P.O. Box update for
you. One of the first things that I wanted to say thank you for was Talia hand-knitted scarves for each of us, each of the Muggle casters, and they're really, really nice. I mean, they're just really, really well done, and my mom is coveting them, and they're really, really great. So I'm looking forward to sending those out to everybody. Awesome. Jenny sent us a nice little postcard from Boston. Lily also sent us a postcard of Dumbledore that she had left over from a set, I'm assuming. Nadia sent us some HP trading cards, and what's pretty cool about these is she sent some of them that were in different languages, so we have them in, like, Japanese and Spanish, so that's pretty cool.
Are those the trading cards? I remember those. I used to collect them.
Yeah, me too.
The face of them has, like, Harry's forehead.
Right, yeah, those are the ones.
Yeah. Oh, those were great. Those were fun. We should play that at Port. We should like set up a tournament at Portis. We bring them back. All of a sudden, the toy company has all these sales.
That'd be great.
That would be, yeah. Huh.
We also have Mark sent us his CD. It's his Wizard Rock Band, and the band is called Marked as His Equal. So he sent that to us, and he sent us a few tracks, and it's very nice. So we really appreciate getting that. All right, Andrew, you also got a package from an unknown sender, and we opened it before the show tonight, and it was
upon my request. Yes, we should probably upon know it, so you didn't just
Andrew's request. We opened it, and it was the Wii Lego Star Wars game. So
thank you so much for that. I will be having a Wii in California, and thank you. That's very nice. That's a very generous gift. I'm very eager to play it. I used to play Lego Harry Potter. So, and I know Mikey apparently loves Lego Star Wars, so we'll play that with him too. It should be fun. So thank you for that.
Yeah, Andrew, and you also got a letter from Devin.
Thanks, Devin. How about my birthday's coming up, Laura? Did anyone send me like birthday gifts?
No.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, that's
Actually, a lot of people send my mom letters. It's really cute. And then Micah also got what I'm assuming is a t-shirt from an unknown sender. So, is he here?
I hope it's a t-shirt.
No,
I don't know what else it could be. I mean, you probably should hope it's a t-shirt because you're the one that has the package right now.
Well, I mean, it's not open, so... It's not like
I want to open it. Open it. Let's open it right now on the show.
Ooh,
are you
okay.
serious?
Go ahead.
Okay, hang on. You have to let me go get it really quick. Hold up.
Okay, guys. I'm calling the police and having her arrested for opening my mouth.
Okay, make sure you put the bag close to the mic so we can hear, you know, every last pair.
I bet it's a goat shirt or something.
Oh, that'd be so funny.
Let's see, I'm pulling it out. I don't think this is anything I can read out loud, but it is a goat shirt.
I knew it.
Say it. Okay. Say it on there. We'll cut out anything.
It's all inappropriate, but it's like a checklist.
Mike is disappointed. I think he really wanted the shirt he could wear.
So, Micah, do you have a reaction?
No, I can't say that I do. thanks, I think.
And we did get one letter from Caroline, so thank you for that.
Thank you, everyone. We'll remind everyone about the P.O. Box information at the end of the show if you would like to send something in. I mean, also, it's my birthday this week. Happy birthday to me, since nobody else wants to say it.
I was going to tell you on your birthday. Gosh.
Don't be such a whiner. Forget it. It's okay.
All right. Are we going to wish Andrew a happy birthday now that he's crying about it?
No, it's fine. Let's move on.
Chicken soup for your soul.
Hey, MuggleCast. This is Daniel from Charlotte, North Carolina. And I just want to leave a Harry Potter for your soul stuff, you know, chicken soup for your soul, whatever it's called. But anywho, yeah, and I also left a message before this. It was kind of crappy, so I'm doing it again. Yay. But anywho, I've only been a listener since about last Christmas, so not very long. But really, you guys have changed my life already. Like, whenever I'm in my depressed mood, I just say to myself, you know, I feel like this is MuggleCast. And whenever I hear somebody, like, make fun of Laura or Micah talking about goats all the time, it just makes me laugh hysterically, and I just get into my cheerful, happy mood again. And especially when you guys make the noise when you go back to tap of the cast episode. And so, I just want to thank you guys so much for doing all of this. Like, and I think that a whole bunch of people really thank you for doing the whole MuggleCast. I really appreciate it, and so does everybody else. Well, continue doing this. I'm going to be so sad when you guys leave. And so, yeah. Well, thank you. You guys do great. And I love you, Laura. You're awesome. Okay, bye.
Oh, well, thank you. I love you, too. And I drove through Charlotte, North Carolina the other day. Nice place.
Thanks a lot for that chicken soup. That was really nice. And, you know, it's for people like him that we do the show for who really appreciate it and get a lot out of it. Enjoy it a lot.
Thank you.
That was nice.
Yeah, that was nice.
Sweet.
So I think it is time to wrap up this 146th episode of MuggleCast. Laura, as we were talking about, what's the P.O. Box if people want to mail me some birthday gifts?
P.O. Box 3151, Cumming, Georgia 30028.
Gift cards to In-N-Out, Best Buy, the Apple Store.
Yeah, and just be sure when you send those, don't specify who you're sending them to, because then I can keep them for myself.
Put ATTN:Andrew. That would be best way to go for that. It's my birthday, so.
Okay.
Wait. When's your birthday?
You want to plug that a little more?
It's Friday.
It's Friday.
May 23rd. Anderson's 19th birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Oh, thanks, Micah. Thank you, sir. So let's remind everyone about the voicemail information. If you would like to call in a question to MuggleCast to have your question aired during the voicemail portion of our show, we have a few numbers for you. If you're in the United States, you can dial 1-218-20-MAGIC. If you're in the United Kingdom, you can dial 020-8144-0677. And if you're in Australia, you can dial 02-8003-5668. People have been asking for other numbers, like a Canadian number, and I've wanted to get a Canadian number, but Skype doesn't sell them, so you would have to call international. I'm sorry about that. You can also Skype the username MuggleCast, no matter how you call us, though. Just remember to keep your message under 60 seconds and eliminate as much background noise as possible, please. You can also visit MuggleCast.com for a handy feedback form to contact any one of us, or just use our first name, such as staff.mugglenet.com. We also have a variety of community outlet links on MuggleCast.com, as always, including the MySpace, Facebook, YouTube, Frapper, Last.fm, and the fan listing, the forums. You can also follow us on Twitter, digtheshow at dig.com, and vote for us once a month.
On Podcast Alley.
You betcha.
We're number one right now.
Yeah, guys, I'm a little sad, to be honest with you. I mean, I've, you know, been recording MuggleCast here in sunny Medford ever since the start, and it's the last one.
Sunny? You live in Jersey.
I gotta say, no, it's sunny. It was sunny here today. It's kind of sad. It's kind of sad. MuggleCast started here, and it's not ending here, which I guess is a good thing. But, so, once again, we're not going to be sure if we're doing a live episode next week. That all depends on the trailer coming out. If the trailer does come out, definitely look for a show from us that weekend. Not live, but a regular show. If not, we probably won't be doing a live show because I'm going to be busy moving. And we need a week off. I think it's high time. So
yeah, could use a week off.
There you go.
From
hey, everyone, for my birthday, I'm giving you a week off. How does that sound?
It's very nice perfect gift.
You're welcome, Micah. Anytime.
But can you get me off from work for a week?
Huh?
Can you get me off my real job for a week?
Or yeah, me too. Cast? That would be great.
Well, no. So that does it for this week's episode of MuggleCast. Once again, I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Laura Thompson.
I'm Micah Tannenbaum.
And I am Matthew Britton.
Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next week, hopefully, or the week after for episode 147. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Will you shut the dogs up?